Excuse me, Judith began and stopped. She pressed her lips tight, then with an uncharacteristic flutter of the hands. The doctor is already out on call. He won't be here for an hour. Please. I belted my dressing gown and followed. Judith was half running a few paces ahead. We went up and down flights of stairs, turned into passages and corridors, arrived back on the ground floor, but in a part of the house I hadn't seen before. Finally, we came to a series of rooms that I took to be Miss Winter's private suite. We paused before a closed door, and Judith gave me a troubled look. I well understood her anxiety. From behind the door there came deep, inhuman sounds, bellows of pain interrupted with jagged gasps for breath. Judith opened the final door and we went in. I was astonished. No wonder the noise reverberated so. Unlike the rest of the house, with its overstuffed upholstery, lavish drapes, baffled walls and tapestries, this was a spare and naked little room. The walls were bare plaster, the floor simple boards. A plain bookcase in the corner was stuffed with piles of yellowing paper, and in the corner stood a narrow bed with simple white covers. At the window, a calico curtain hung limply each side of the panes, letting the night in. Slumped over a plain little school desk, with her back to me, was Miss Winter. Gone were her fiery orange and resplendent purple. She was dressed in a white long-sleeve chemise, and she was weeping. A harsh, atonal scraping of air over her vocal cords. Jarring wails that veered into frighteningly animal moans. Her shoulders heaved and crashed and her torso shuddered. The force travelled through her frail neck to her head, along her arms into her hands, which jolted against the desktop. Judith hurried to replace a cushion beneath Miss Winter's temple. Miss Winter, utterly possessed by the crisis, seemed not to know we were there. I've never seen her like this before, Judith said, fingers pressed to her lips, and with a rising note of panic, I don't know what to do. Miss Winter's mouth gaped and grimaced, contorted into wild, ugly shapes by the grief that was too big for it. It's all right, I said to Judith. It was an agony, I knew. I drew up a chair and sat down beside Miss Winter.
Hush, hush, I know.
I placed an arm across her shoulder, drew her two hands into mine. Shrouding her body with my own, I bent my ear close to her head and went on with the incantation.
It's all right, it will pass. Hush, child, you're not alone.
I rocked her and soothed her and never stopped breathing the magic words. They were not my own words, but my father's. Words that I knew would work, because they had always worked for me.
Hush, I whispered. I know. It will pass.
The convulsions did not stop, nor the cries become less painful, but they gradually became less violent. She had time between each new paroxysm to take in desperate, shuddering breaths of air.
You're not alone. I'm with you.
Eventually she was quiet. The curve of her skull pressed into my cheek. Wisps of her hair touched my lips. Against my ribs I could feel her little flutters of breath, the tender convulsions in her lungs. Her hands were very cold in mine.
There, there now, I said. He was a good man, and he loved you.